Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Mick McCarthy.
What?
Here we go. I'm typing on my Google Doc saying Morata is right. I didn't think he played in the Prem. Yes.
The point's been declared.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Chips, Kate O'Connor. Kate, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
What part of the world are you in?
I am back home. I'm in Dundalk. I landed home yesterday. So yeah, just trying to kind of come down a little bit, rest, recover, that sort of thing.
Yeah, rest, recover, but not too much rest and recovery because you're heading to the World Championships.
I know, it's a really quick turnaround. And to be honest, it's a little bit weird because we were the last event at European Champs and we're the first at Worlds. So it is, it's a really, really, really quick turnaround, but it's the same for everyone. So
obviously, by securing the medal, it guaranteed qualification. Did you have in your head that you were going to be going to China anyway? Was this clearly always part of the plan?
It was definitely part of the plan, but I suppose you never know if you're going to a championship until you get the invite. So got my invitation through yesterday. So yeah, now I know I'm kind of on that plane and I suppose I've got another chance to have another go at it.
And that's great because it means that there's like an automatic immediate reward for what you've just achieved, which is kind of career defining anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I think that like there's pros and cons to it because in one way I would love to enjoy this medal and kind of be able to celebrate properly and that sort of thing, but which I will do. It's just going to be postponed slightly to after World Indoors. But yeah, definitely, I'm in great form, probably the best form of my life. And I really just want to try and lap it up as much as I can and take all the opportunities that come my way. So yeah, I think World Indoors is another opportunity. And I'll go over and I'll try to perform just as good.
And is the rest of your year mapped out then as well?
Yeah, somewhat. So plan is after indoors to take a couple of weeks break because it's a long season. Worlds outdoors aren't until September. So going to take 2 weeks just to kind of chill. And then competition wise before World Outdoors, we're not sure yet. It kind of depends where I am on the ranking list and that sort of thing. But yeah, definitely World Champs is the main focus in September then.
Okay, so maybe talk us through your last 12 months, will you? Because obviously you go to the Olympic Games and that experience of being in Paris seems to be something that has really stood to you. Can you talk to us about the value of that experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like, I think probably something that I didn't really push out too much was earlier in the year. So January of last year, I had a really, really bad accident in the gym. Where I like ruptured ligaments in my ankle and like my foot still isn't the same as before that accident. There was talks of surgery. There was talks of that I was finished for the year. So really all year last year was like I was playing catch up and I was chasing qualification. And I just really, really, really wanted to make the Olympics. And then I got there and I probably wasn't in the best shape that I could have been in, but considering what had happened during the year and the fact that I even made it in the first place was madness. And the plan was just to enjoy that Olympic experience because I'd worked so hard all year to actually get there. But one thing about me is I'm so competitive. And I just remember like after the competition, I was really satisfied with what I did because I worked with what I had and the time that I had for myself. But I have always known in myself that I could be one of the best in the world. And I was looking at those top girls and I just knew in myself that like I could get there and I could be up there with those girls. So after that, I kind of came back and had a good chat with my team. And I kind of really wanted to change everybody's mindset that worked around me because I don't want to be just an athlete that turns up and competes at championships. I want to turn up and I want a medal because I work hard. And some parts of me think if I'm going to work this hard, I want to get rewards. So yeah, that was a huge thing that we did this year. Everybody's mindset changed and everyone's expectations of me changed, which meant that every day I was turning up to train and I was given 110% over and over again. And if I'm being honest, I didn't think that the changes would have rewards so quickly. But yeah, it's really exciting for me that like just like small little subtle changes like that and just kind of those extra 1 or 2% every day training can get me a bronze medal so quickly.
Who's on that team that you're talking to? What's that group?
So I suppose like my close inner circle that I work with every day, on the track, I've got two coaches. So my head coach is my dad. which, yeah, that's a really special, I suppose, relationship. And then my dad's right-hand man on the track is Tom Reynolds. And then physio, I see every day, is Kerry Kirk, and then S&C, Robbie Bremner. So they're kind of like my like really close inner circle. There's obviously a lot more moving parts to the puzzle, but those are the guys that like are around every day that, you know, have really helped me get here.
And is it a psychological challenge to reset and reframe from being an athlete who goes to the Olympic Games, not in the fullness of your health, but comes away from it going, actually, you know what, I deserve to be here. And not only do I deserve to be here, but I can compete with everybody I've just come up against.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of one of those things where I don't know if I'm weird that I can kind of, that I always knew that I was good enough. I think that actually yesterday was, on Sunday, I've had a little bit of time to reflect on the competition. And after the long jump was a really weird moment for me because I had just done four amazing performances. At any other competition, I would have been absolutely ecstatic. But I did those four performances and I came away from the long jump and I seen my dad and my and Tom in the warm-up area and I just looked at them and I felt so overwhelmed and I just kind of started crying. And I wasn't sad with anything that I did, but I just started to cry. And now looking back on that, I actually think the reasoning was because that was the first time in my life where I felt like I had actually lived up to what I've been doing in training and I'd kind of performed out of my skin and I still felt like I was kind of coming up short at that moment. And I'd never felt like that before. I've always come away from competitions thinking, I know I can do better. I know I can. But at that moment I was like, oh my goodness, like maybe am I not good enough? but then that obviously has to quickly get out of your mind because you've still got another event and nothing's over till it's over. And yeah, that's the beauty of pentathlon, I suppose, is that like, you've got to have that mental resilience to keep turning up, keep fighting, because you never know what anybody else is going to do. So, yeah.
That's mad. So, how do you stop being overwhelmed and how do you stop crying before the 800 metres where you then go out and produce the performance of your life?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a weird one. So I've been doing multi-events since I was 14, and I've learned a lot in the last 10 years. Gosh, I've been doing multi-events for 10 years. And I would say that at the beginning, whenever I started doing events, I would cry after every event if it didn't go well. But it wouldn't just be a cry, it would be a sob, and I would be losing a lot of energy and I wouldn't really know how to deal with like my emotions and the highs and the lows. So that's been a real journey of like figuring out like that each event, you've got to be able to take what you've earned, park it and move on. So yeah, really like I think that I've actually got very good at being able to come away from an event, feel the emotions and then park it and understand that like we've got to move on. Afterwards, we can laugh, cry, whatever, over everything. But in that moment, you've got to, in multi-events, you've got to be able to deal with the highs and the lows. The highs just as much as the lows as well. You've got to be able to come off like an event where you're absolutely buzzing and jumping off the walls and be able to like kind of calm yourself back down because each event you've got to be composed and be able to turn up and execute. So yeah, I would say the only way I was able to do that is just from prior experience and just being able to park something and move on.
Will you talk to us a bit more about, you mentioned your dad there a couple of times. It must be unbelievable to have him in your camp, but is there a bit of a difference between dad and then dad as coach during events? Or we saw how emotional he got after the event.
Yeah, I would say that even me and my dad's journey like has been a roller coaster. When well, obviously we've worked together the whole time, the whole way up. And when I was at home and in school, I would say that the relationship was like very up and down. It was like kind of difficult for us both because we'd go to training and if something wasn't going well, we'd be coming back home and we're both in the same house and stuff that happened on the track can be taken back and arguments, etc., could happen. But I think now that we're that I'm a little bit older and I'm not living at home, it's the relationship is a lot easier. And I think just even like emotionally, like I'm just able to, we're able to park things at the track and just be able to kind of, yeah, have that kind of balance. But yeah, there's definitely a difference between my dad coaching and my dad just being my dad. It's kind of a weird one to explain to anybody. I would say that like he's definitely got a different relationship with my brother and my sister to me, even just as a dad, because he is also my coach and he's always kind of, I suppose, watching what I'm doing, which sometimes can be a little bit annoying, but I know he always has my best interests at heart. But yeah, it's a weird relationship, probably one that could be studied in the future. But yeah, it works really well and we get on great. We're best friends and yeah, I really appreciate everything that he does for me.
Can you take us back to the 800 metres then, where you do put in a truly great performance and one that will, I guess, live with you forever because it's such an important moment. What's your recollections of the race?
So thinking back, I suppose, if I even just bring you back to after the long jump, the tears, and then that was parked. And then we have the conversation of what we're going to actually do in the race. So my dad and Tom go off and they figure out points wise and figure out exactly what I need to do to get into the bronze. And then they come back to me and then we discuss race tactics. So the tactic actually was to go out and stick behind Jade and then at some point sprint and try to put 3 seconds between the two of us. That's what the plan was. Because we both have the exact same PB, that was kind of the only way we could really see around the whole thing, the only way to kind of make it happen. But again, like we were kind of all talking and we were like, it's not the nicest position to be in because it's going to be really, really hard and I'd need to take something really, really special to do it. But yeah, then I was standing on the line before the 800. I've never felt so nervous in my life. I don't really know what was going through my head. I actually have watched the full race and there's parts of it that I do remember. I suppose when the gun went off, I suddenly found myself in second position behind the Italian girl, who I know was a really quick 8 runner. And down the back straight, I decided that I was just going to run the race of my life and whether I get the medal or not, it's going to be something that I'm proud of. So yeah, at that moment I decided, I threw the race plan in the bin, basically.
I was going to say, tactics out the window, screw this, I'm ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah. Tactics went out the window and I just decided that I was just going to run hell for leather and just give it my all. And on the last lap, just coming off the bend, I'm pretty sure I said it out loud, probably while breathing really heavily, but I said out loud, how much do you want this medal? And I tried to give another surge. And I think that that pulled me then just away that little bit more. Because, yeah, like I said, I'm so competitive and I really, really wanted a medal. But yeah, and then it was all a blur. Then I crossed the line and I was lying on the track watching the times come in and I hadn't a clue because when I turned around, Jade crossed the line. So I didn't know what the story was. And then I seen it. And then my reaction was, what has just happened?
Look, it's an incredible story, Kate. And I guess we didn't really understand what had happened before the Olympics. So the journey from there to here to whatever is coming next has been absolutely magnificent. So congratulations. And like literally that half hour is going to go down in Irish athletics history and you're a seminal part of that. So the whole country's paying attention now for the indoors in China and hopefully the outdoors in Tokyo later in the year. Thanks a million for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for chatting with me.
That was great. It's Kate O'Connor there, fresh from a bronze at the European Indoors in the Netherlands. Final.
Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Mick McCarthy.
What? Here
I'm
we go.
Typing on my Google Doc saying Morata is right. I didn't think he played in the Prem.
The point's been declared.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.